He's mentioning whoever believes in Allah on the last day, let them speak well or remain silent. Whoever believes in Allah on the last day, let them be generous to their guests. Whoever believes in Allah and the last day, subhanahu wa ta'ala, then let them be good to their neighbors. And Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, he mentions an amazing fact. He said, the importance of the afterlife can be found that you'll be hard-pressed to find one page of the Qur'an where akhirah is not mentioned. One page. Go to Fatiha, Malik Yawmiddin. So many different instances where you're finding Al-Akhirah mentioned. Now, specifically when we're talking about Al-Akhirah in relationship to zina, we're going to talk about death. Because the death, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave it a name that He did not give to anything else in the Qur'an. He gave it to other things. But the way that He uses this name in correlation with the concept of death has to scare you. And I want to tell you a story of one of the sons of Ali radiallahu anhu, Hussein. Because many times when you are young, you think that the throes of death are not close to you. One time they found Hussein radiallahu anhu, he was crying. And he was young. And they asked him, Ya Hussein, why are you crying? You are so young. He said, I started to ponder on the fire that the people built. And I came to the realization that in order to start a fire, what type of wood do you need? The small pieces of wood. So I started to think about Narullah, the hellfire. And I became scared that if I die as a young man and I did not live a good life, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will use me to start the fire of hell, just as small pieces of wood are used to start a fire in this dunya. And he was a young person. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gave death a name that He didn't give to anything else in this relationship. He said in Surah Al-Ma'idah, فَأَصَابَتْكُمْ مُصِيبَةُ الْمَوْتِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala named death something it has to make us pay attention. فَأَصَابَتْكُمْ مُصِيبَةُ الْمَوْتِ. And when you are hit by the trial of death. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to death as a test, as a musiba, as a fitna. And because of this reason, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in hadith sahih about three or four different hadith about this issue, لا يتمنين أحدكم الموت. Nobody should wish to die. Nobody should want to die because of its test. And then he said, if you have no other opportunity, no other way out except to wish for death, then you should make dua. Oh Allah, if you know that my life is good for me, allow my life to continue. And if you know that this life will not be good for me, and what does it mean not be good for me? It means that I will not do hasanat anymore. Somebody just wrote a question about cars and so forth. Think about the definition of this. That the bad life for a Muslim is when their ability to perform the actions of ibadat became hard on them. This is a fitna. وَالْفِتْنَةُ أَشَّدُ مِنُ الْقَطْلِ. So, make this dua, and this is found in Sahih Bukhari. Oh Allah, as long as you know that my life is good for me, allow me to live. And as long as you know my life is not good for me, or when I am not able to worship you anymore, then take my soul. What does it have to do with zina? Maybe you know, the brother's supposed to talk about zina. What's the most important day that's going to come to you and me? 2 days, 3 days of our existence were the most important. The day we are born, the day we're going to die, and the day we're going to live again. This is death. Dying. And meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is haqq. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him to say in the Qur'an, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةٌ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. Every soul is going to taste death. And nobody's allowed in Islam to kill his or herself, to make death happen, to eliminate their existence. But there is one time you can. And this is the interesting point going into zina. When can somebody, doesn't mean that you can kill yourself, this is not allowed, but when can you resort to this last hope and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cause you to die? You have to think about this now. When? What situation could happen that would make someone want to leave this existence? How many of you are scared to die, really? A lot of us, man. Because it's death. We know, some of us, I didn't raise my hand, yeah. But we know that it's not an easy thing. And that the Prophet ﷺ, he himself, as he was dying, he said, سَقْرَةُ الْمَوْتِ وَجَاءَتْ سَقْرَةُ الْمَوْتِ بِالْحَقِّ. That the pains of death were hitting him. And it was not an easy experience for him. So what about you and me? So when would it be allowed to wish for something like this? It involves making a choice. And this is going to take us into zina. Because to make zina, وَيَعَذُ بِاللَّهِ, is a choice. And as the brother he mentioned, it's not just, we are going to talk about the extreme form of it, yes. But there are, as the ulama mentioned, there are darajat. There are levels of zina. But when is it permissible to want to die? SubhanAllah, you have to go to Surat Maryam. And sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. Ameen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, every day we ask Him to guide us on Surat al-Mustaqim, the way of those who Allah put His favors upon. And we know from the Qur'an that those people that Allah His favors are on them are found in Surat Nisa. وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ وَحَسُنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا ذَلِكَ الْفَضُّ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ عَلِيمًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given tafsir of those people who are the ones that the favor of Allah is upon them. And one of them is Siddiqeen, the truthful people. But who's the example of a truthful woman for the sisters? Maybe a sister sometime when she read these things, she said, I don't have any examples. It's always me. It's not the case. When you read Surah Al-Ma'idah, you read about Maryam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the mother of Isa, wa ummuhu siddiqa. Wa ummuhu siddiqa. You read in Surah Tahrim, wa saddaqat bi kalimati rabbiha wa kutubihi wa kanat min al-qanitin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made Maryam the amira of the siddiqat, the truthful women. This woman is an amazing woman, man. That she experienced something that nobody in the history has experienced. She became pregnant without the agent of a man, her husband. And at that moment she read in Surah Maryam, where she was starting to have the pains of birth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is narrating this story. Suddenly Maryam, she said something very strange. قَالَتْ يَا لَيْتَنِي مِتُّ قَبْلَ هَذَا. قَالَتْ يَا لَيْتَنِي مِتُّ قَبْلَ هَذَا. She said, oh, I wish I would have died before this happened to me. SubhanAllah. What made her say this? As we talked about in the beginning, lessons from the Quran. And the lesson from this verse is amazing. Why did she wish to die? Because she knew that if she went back to her people and she had this baby with her, what's the first thing this sick-hearted people going to say about her? Man? Is what? What's the first thing they're going to say about her? She committed what sin? Oh yeah, now we're getting into it. Now you look scared. Because now you start to see the correlation with the topic and all these things I've been talking about. What sin was she scared that they would accuse her of doing? What sin was it? The sin of zina. And she would rather die than have someone accuse her of zina. See how deep the Quran is. It's deep, man. It's on another level. لو أنزل هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله. But what's the other lesson that we're going to take? And this is the lesson that the ulama gave. That by having that baby in her hands, when she came back to the people, what would be tarnished? What would be tarnished? I don't know, she ain't worried about her reputation. She's not like us. Yeah, that's important. You're right. That's one of the lessons. But I knew that was going to be said. Her reputation, yes. Because she came from what family? The family of what? Of Nabuwa. The family of the prophets. She's right. But even more important than her reputation was the reputation of what? What does she represent? Islam. And she would rather die than to tarnish the reputation of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the ulama said, this is the only time somebody can wish for death. When they are so terrified that they are going to tarnish or to hamper the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In that situation, death was better for her. Because she was worried that she would lose her iman under this fitna. And death was better for her than iman. Now for the brothers. So to Yusuf. Because sometimes, man, I know how it is, I'm from the hood. You meet a guy at the campus, and he comes to you, and he tells you, man, I fell into zina. And you ask him, how? Man, she's fine, man. We laugh, but it's true. She's fine. I never seen a girl like that before, man. This happens. Seriously. Look at Yusuf. Alayhi salam. Because this is the quality of the righteous. They will always choose putting themselves through hardship than to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How many of you are familiar with the story of Sultan Yusuf? In our youth group in our masjid, Yusuf is like mandatory on the boys to learn. Sultan Nur for the girls. Hadith al-Ifq with Aisha radiallahu anha when they slandered her. Yusuf alayhi salam, you think that woman is fine? Who is after him? قالت هيت لك. Who was after him? Was she ugly? Was she poor? Was she drove? That was the finest woman in the city. Not only this woman is after him, not only she was after him, but who was after him? A whole group of women. Beautiful women. Lovely women. Jewelry, money. Everything you want. And the only thing they want him to do is to sleep with them. But look at his choice. رَبِّ السِّجْنُ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّا يَدَعُونَنِي إِلَيَّ. Oh Allah, the prison is more beloved to me than to follow what they call me to. He chose the prison over being with that fine woman. What was the sin she wanted him to do again? Was what sin? The sin of what? Sin of zina. One more example is the example of Aisha radiallahu anha. And this woman, subhanallah, 18 years old, 17 years old, 16 years old, and demon. One time the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because this zina starts, and we're going to talk about this, when we let our guard down and we don't keep our haya. This is one of the darajat into zina. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, don't follow the khutuwat of shaitan. Shaitan has khutuwat, steps. Didn't say don't follow shaitan. Don't follow his darajat. He starts, yeah, with simple things. Oh, you can look at him, man. It's just a look. You don't marry him. Make your intention to marry. Just look at him, man. We can smile at him. It's no problem. And from there, we work our way up. And the next thing you know, bang. Haram. And the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is on our necks. Look at Aisha. In Hadith Sahih, Prophet came and he said, "An-nas, yuhsharu an-nasu yawm al-qiyamah." People are going to be gathered on the day of judgment, naked, barefooted, and circumcised. He said this to Aisha. She was young, like you're young. He said to her, and it's very scary in the Arabic language, يُحْشَرُ النَّاسُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. How many people are going to be put together on يَوْمُ حَشْرُ? And يَوْمُ حَشْرُ, the azab of يَوْمُ حَشْرُ is so bad and so intense that the non-Muslims and the Muslims who are going to be punished, we ask Allah to put us under His shade when there's no shade but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of the people under the shade of Allah is going to be that young man who a woman called him to what? That on the day of Hashr, people are going to run to all of the prophets. And they're going to be begging them for one thing. Ask Allah to start the judgment. Because the punishment is so bad. They would rather have the judgment start than to sit like that. When a day, khamsina, like 50,000 years. So now the Prophet ﷺ is describing this to Aisha. يُحْشَرُ النَّاسُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. People are going to be gathered on the day of judgment, naked, barefoot, and circumcised. You know what her next question was, man? This is show you her level. How she was like these people. Usually if someone told you that, you're going to be like, what happened next? What's next? Look at the haya of a Muslim man. She said, we're going to be naked? See the lesson? She forgot all about the day of judgment. Because in her heart and her mind, for any man to see her naked is something very intense. So she said to the Prophet, we're going to be naked in front of people. People are going to be looking at us, Ya Rasulullah. Because this haya, to show herself in front of a man. So look at these three examples. Maryam, she chose death instead of being given the term azaniya and degrading Islam and maybe losing her iman. Yusuf, he chose the prison over sleeping in those nice silk beds with them fine women. He chose the prison. And Aisha, when the whores of the day of judgment are mentioned to her, the only thing she can think about is men are going to be looking at me. So zina is a choice. And it has to do with your hereafter and my hereafter. It's so devastating and so dangerous to a society that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't say, وَلَا تَدْخُلُوا فِي zina. Don't go into zina. It's so dangerous. That he said what? In Surah Isra, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا. Don't come close to it. He didn't say don't do it. Because it's so devastating. Don't even come close to it. Don't play with it. Don't be around it. Don't put yourself in a situation to fall into it. Because it's not easy to escape its trap. In other places in the Qur'an, Ibn Qayyim, the student of Ibn Taymiyyah, he mentions that the crime of zina is so great that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He mentioned zina, He mentioned it with what? With qatl, with murder. And He brought them together in many places to show people the standard of this sin is a high, high standard. What is zina? And this, I'm glad, alhamdulillah, the brother, he gave this introduction. Zina, has given simple meaning by the ulama, and I'm going to give you the simple meaning, is for someone to have a relationship with someone that they don't have this aqd shar'iyyah with. Meaning you mess with a girl or you mess with a boy and you don't have this aqd, this contract of marriage between you. And somebody who's married can make zina, and we know what the punishment is for them. Somebody who's not married does zina, also there's hadood for them from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, what are you facing in the wild animal kingdom of the West? Because it's not that easy. You face three problems. I face three problems. First is environmental pressures. How many of you, do you guys have 7-Eleven in Canada? I ain't trying to diss you, anything is, I don't know what you got around here. Okay, you got 7-Eleven, right? How many of you have noticed over the last few years that every time you go to the cash register, at least in my neck of the woods, underneath the cash register they put a lot of magazines. What's on the front of these magazines, man? What's on the front of these magazines? Maxim, FHN, something like that. Stud. There's one I even saw for women. I don't know what it's called. But I don't know. Have some naked men on the front of it. This is a scary, scary, scary thing. Because why did I start my talk with Akhirah? Is the Prophet ﷺ, he said in Hadith Sahih that one of the signs of the hour, one of the signs of the end of time, out of three of them, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَيَظْهَرَ الزِّنَا, that zina will become apparent in the society. So we face environmental pressure. Wallahi, I'm in the airport today, I want to buy USA Today, and you cannot walk by the magazine stand, man. You're going to forget half a juz of Quran if you walk by the magazine stand. Wallahi, satan! Nothing but aariyat on the magazine cover. Nothing but naked women. What does a naked woman have to do with a car? I don't know. Car weekly. Naked woman on... I want to buy a car, I don't want to buy the woman. Boys Life, naked woman. National Geographic, naked woman. Has nothing to do with the subject. Because the Prophet said, we laugh. But keep in mind this hadith. وَيَظْهَرَ الزِّنَا, it's going to become apparent in a society. And that's what you see now. Tomb Raider. No, my little brothers in my masjid, they play games. But they don't play that game. They tell me, yeah, I'm Suhaib. If you, well, don't see, but if you were allowed to see some of the games. We had a boy, he got PlayStation 2. His mom, you know, they ordered it and they waited, you know, for like 10 years and he got it. And listen to what he told me. He's only in 5th grade. You know what he told me? He said, it's great, but I can only buy one game. What do you mean you can only buy one game? I can only buy one game, mom. I said, why? It's the only game a Muslim can buy. He said, everything else is bad. I can't find anything without a woman on it, or a man. So, environmental pressures. Music, man. I was in Los Angeles, I met this girl, she's about 12 years old, Muslim girl. She told me, listen to her question. She's from Ahlul Mantiq. She said, can I listen to music once a week? I said, man, you're pretty tough being 12 years old. So I told her, what type of music you listen to? Rayhan? No. Yusuf Islam? No. Now the ones be Canadian? No. So who you listen to? Dream. I'm too old to even know who that is. They told me 98 degrees, I said, I got my deodorant on. They told me it's a group. She said, Dream. I said, what this thing about? She said, he loves me, he loves me not. So I told her, but it's scary. Because the Prophet said, وَيَظْهَرَ الزِّنَا, it's going to become apparent. Now everywhere you go, video games, zina. The magazine, zina. The records, zina.
internet, zina. I told her, do you think this is a song for Muslims to listen to? Said no. Okay, alhamdulillah. So your environmental pressures. It's not like back home. Those of you who maybe sometimes your parents give you a hard time. And you want to tell them this frustratedly, don't just tell them, wallahi, mom and dad, I'm living in a beast, man. I am surrounded by a shaitan. The other thing that you have that's going to cause you and me to fall into the trap of zina is a lot of freedom. It's not like in Muslim countries where it's more of a conservative environment. There's a lot of freedom of choice here for us. Internet. Man, how many of you have a Hotmail account? How many of you get that sick stuff? And all the time they send you these sick things, man. And this is part of this hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. That this zina is going to come and be everywhere. It's going to be clear everywhere you go. The other thing is the distance from the Islamic influence. That 24 hours a day, you are being pounded by the ideology of the kuffar. That's it. And many of us, we are not in touch with Islam daily. And this is dangerous. Now zina is very dangerous for a few reasons. First of all, when somebody commits zina, and Allah's refuge is sought from the zina, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, hadith sahih, من زان وشرب الخمر نزع الله منه الإيمان كما يخلع الإنسان القميص من رأسه. This is scary, man. What's the most valuable thing you have in your life? Really? If it came down to it, how many of you would sell your iman? Nobody in this room is going to sell his iman. Nobody in this salat, she's going to sell her iman. So the Prophet ﷺ said that whoever drinks, and it's interesting that the Prophet talked about drinking khamr, alcohol, intoxicants, with zina. Because where's the place you go to commit zina?
Where?
The club! And what you usually find in the club
is whiskey.
So he put them together. And what's one of the biggest plagues in North America? I know of a boy in your country, 14 years old, with AIDS.
Muslim. His parents don't know.
14-year-old Muslim boy with AIDS in Canada, man. Because the Prophet said, whoever drinks whiskey and committed zina, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala peels his iman away from him, just as a man he peels his shirt off his back. Doesn't mean he's kafir. But it means that the moment that that person is doing zina, as Ibn Abbas he said, like his iman or her iman is above their head. And as soon as they stop, it goes back in them. One of the scariest things about the one who commits zina, who's married, is that his blood became halal to the Muslims. And her blood became halal to the Muslims. Because somebody who's married and committed zina, what's the punishment for them? Is to be stoned to death. The other thing is in the famous hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was talking about Laylatul Isra wal Mi'raj, and he went to Jibreel and Mika'il, and he said, we came upon a pit that was like an oven, and we kept seeing flames rising, and as these flames would rise, naked people would be on top of the flames screaming. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to them, man ha'ula? Who are these people? And they told him that these are the people of fornication and zina. Another hadith, which is a sound hadith, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ثَلَاثَةٌ لَا يُكَلِّمُهُمُ اللَّهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَلَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَيْهِ وَلَا يُزَكِّيهِمْ. There are three people. Allah will not speak to them on the Day of Judgment. He will not look at them, and He will not purify them. And one of them is an old man who committed zina. There's a story related by Imam Al-Zahabi,
without its authenticity in his book Kaba'ir. He says that shaitan, one time he was with his boys, and he asked them, what did you do today? One of them, he said, I caused a Muslim family to divorce. Or two Muslim brothers to split up. Excuse me. Not divorce, two brothers to split. He said, this is nothing, they will come back together. Another one, he said, I caused a Muslim to commit a sin. It's no problem. He will seek the forgiveness of Allah, and Allah will forgive him. The last one, he came to him and he said, I caused a Muslim to commit zina. And then shaitan, he took him and said, this is the one I love him. Good job. You did a great job to make them fall into this trap. Now, let's take another look at zina, as he mentioned. Because I'm sure, and I have a good suspicion about all of you, that no one in this room has committed zina in the extreme sense of the word. And if you have, لا تخاف, don't be scared, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ghafoor raheem. If somebody repent to him sincerely, he's going to forgive him. But in the state, it has become a growing problem amongst Muslim youth. The problem between themselves of zina. And sometimes the brothers, don't be upset, they put pressure on the sisters to make zina. And sometimes the sisters, they put pressure on the brothers to make zina. And this is a dangerous, 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 dangerous trap. But the type of zina that I'm worried about for me and you is the one that he mentioned. And this is found in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, mentioned in Sahih Bukhari, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that the two eyes, zinahuma an-nazar, that the eyes commit zina. And how do they commit zina? By seeing the bad things. And believe me, man, it's hard not to see bad things nowadays. Especially where you are. And especially where I am. TV, man. Allah is destroying people. And I'm not telling you to shoot the tube or something. But be mindful of what you see, man. The internet. What's the largest business on the internet? It's pornography. They're making millions of this business. And shaitan will come to you and say, no problem, you ain't doing it. You're just looking at it. But the Prophet ﷺ said here that the zina of the eyes is to what? Who can help me? It's to look. Then he continued. The zina of the ears is to listen. When I first became Muslim, I used to be a DJ. I had over 1,000 records in my bedroom, turntables, speakers and everything. When I had accepted Islam, alhamdulillah, the brothers who were dealing with me were taking me step by step because I was a trip. And I was DJing a party and I was playing a record by Snoop Doggy Dogg. These ain't nothing but this and this, okay. And I was playing this song, man, and they was out there, you know, doing that thing, man, jamming. And I started to say to myself, I'm a hypocrite, man. I'm a Muslim, man. I'm playing this kind of stuff. I didn't know anything. I just accepted Islam. I knew the very basic. What about you who were born Muslim? I've always been Muslim. If I could come to this conclusion in 2 months, and I threw everything away, that's it, man. I made 3 records, hip-hop records. I wasn't Vanilla Ice, by the way. And I left it. Because, man, this stuff that they're talking about is haram. And when you listen to these people, basically you're listening to how a kafir spent his day. That's what you're listening to. And that's why Ibn Qayyim, he said that music, not the Islamic nasheed and stuff like this, but the music, we know what we mean music. He said, this is the Qur'an of shaitan. Because when you listen to it, when you listen to music, and a situation arises in your life,
You would hear the song in your mind, man. And the song would tell you what to do. And you start acting like the song. Same thing with Quran. As the hafiz here today. Sometimes, how many of you? You were sitting and suddenly the Quran just, Quran radio turned on your head. And you start to hear verses of Quran. How many of you this happened to you before? We had a girl in our masjid, she's learning Surah Al-Zukhruf named Noor. She's about 12. She's like, I keep hearing this. وَلَا إِنْ سَأَلْتُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَيَقُولُنَّ خَلَقَهُنَّ الْعَزِيزُ الْعَلِيمُ. I keep hearing this. But me, I can remember songs when I was a youngster. And instances what happened in my life, they go, Def Leppard. What's Def Leppard doing in my mind? That's 15 years ago. Because that's the Quran of Shaitan. Tell you how to act. But on the other end, if you have the Quran in your mind, your ears will not be committing zina. The next thing that the Prophet said is that the zina of the tongue is to speak evil. Muslims don't curse, man. And I sometimes speak slang just to let you know that I know where you're from. But I don't make it a habit to walk out and say, yo, what's up, cuz? What's up, man? What y'all been doing? I don't want to sound like a fool. Okay. Watch how you speak. Watch what you say. And he said the zina of the hand is to grab, to touch, to pick up a magazine, to turn on that TV. You know something bad is coming on. Not just to touch that woman. And lastly, he said in another hadith, Ya Shabab Quraysh, O youth of the Quraysh, احفظوا فجوركم, guard your body parts. And he said, don't لا تزنوا, make zina. And he said, صلى الله عليه وسلم, من حفظ فرجه فله جنة. And the one who guarded these things is going to be in paradise. Now what are three ways you can do it? Because I don't want to tell you this and not give you a how-to. The first one is that you have to be mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When should you be mindful of Allah? When? Every time. The Prophet didn't say, اتَّقِ لَا فِي مَسْجِدِكُمْ وَاتَّقِ لَا فِي بِيُوتِكُمْ. He said, اتَّقِ لَا حَيْثُ مَا كُنْتِ. Be mindful of Allah wherever you are. Because when your relationship with Allah is tight, everything else is going to fall into place. Many times people come to me and they say, I want to divorce my husband. My husband is a jerk. My husband don't do nothing for me. Or my wife, she's this. She burned the biryani. She this, that, that. I tell them. You know what I tell them? You know what I tell them? I told the sister, how's your 5 daily prayers? I got 4. We know which one she's missing, right? Of course. The brother, how's your prayers, man? Do you come to the masjid once a month? I come every Friday. At 2:29, the khutbah finishes at 2:30. So, the relationship with Allah is wrong. Chaos in the family. Chaos with the children. Chaos with everything. So the first is to get your relationship with Allah tight. And the first symptom of this is at least your 5 prayers, man. To be on that, for me and for you. It's not easy. The second thing is that the idea of marriage. As Muslim youth, you have to go about it the right way. And I know it's not easy, because I know parents are tripping. They are tripping, man. They are, you know, sometimes, not all parents, but they're on another level, man. They make it impossible to marry. Had a sister send me an email. She said, my parents won't let me marry a man just because he became Muslim. And he's a good brother. Man, what's he going to think about Muslims now? Well, what's his opinion of Muslims? Well, we don't want to marry because you accepted us. SubhanAllah. And he has a job. He's a good man. يعني الرجل. He's a good man. But sometimes what happens is the youth, and I have to finish, they go the other direction. Chat rooms. Wallahi, one time I went into Islamic chat room, I never went back. Any 16-year-old hijabis out there want to chat? Ya Allah. Think about Aisha. You laugh because you know it's true, right? Because you've seen it. Maybe some of you... No, you just saw it, right? Aisha radiallahu anha, sisters, keep that haya. If a brother sent me
Hopefully he wouldn't. But if you sent me an email or a message asking me if I want to chat, I'm going to tell him, you want to talk to my daddy? You know what? I'll tell you, in my fourth grade class, I have a student, he's very close to me. MashaAllah, he's going to memorize Al-Quran very soon, inshallah. And this little boy came to me and he said, you told me I could tell you anything, right? I said, man, you can tell me anything, you know, that big brother stuff. And then he told me something, I was like, whoa. He said, I love this one girl in the class. Only 9 years old. So you know what I told him? I said, you gonna go talk to her dad? He's like, no way! Go talk to her dad, man? I said, well, then you don't love her. He said, you know what? You're right. I mean, I love her, but I don't love her like that. I said, so that means that you don't want to marry this woman. He said, nah, I don't want to marry her. So put that on her, brother. Talk to my father. Talk to my wali. And if a brother's real, he's not going to approach his sister like this. He might send her, can you send me some contact information? Okay. Because Sheikh bin Baz, he said, the chat room between a male and a female is khalwa, is privacy. And if a man and a woman are alone, who's the third? Shaitan Tharithima. He's the third. So, we have to find a good way to marry, and also our parents need to listen to us, but don't let that force you to go into the wrong ways. Dani, don't let that pressure send you into the wrong avenues. The last thing that you can do is very important, to stay away from zina, and I'm going to remind you again, especially for the students of knowledge, is to guard these men. This right here get you in a lot of trouble. This right will get you in a lot of trouble. This right here can get you in a lot of trouble. And this right here, it can get you in a lot of trouble. Be mindful of these things, man. Don't mix with sisters and brothers for no reason. How you know when to draw the line in mixing, you find it in the Quran. There's no mixing. But if you have to talk to a sister, or a sister has to talk to a brother, when? Look at the Quran. When Musa alayhi salam found the daughters of Shu'aib, what did the daughters of Shu'aib need? Water. If they don't have water, what's going to happen to them? Something bad. So they asked Musa, can you please help us with the water? Then he said, where are you from? Astaghfirullah. We never say that Musa could have done this. Did he ask them, what's their phone number? Did he ask them for the email? Did he say anything to him? Or did he just do it? And when he was done, what did he do? That's it. This is how you interact with a Muslim man and woman. If you have to. Like this. Don't let shaitan cause you, especially Islamic workers, to fall into this trap. Because that mixing and that unnecessary relationship, it makes corrosion in the heart, man. I've seen it. One time we had a brother, and I'll finish. We had MSA of Oklahoma. He's my dear brother. I will not say his name, of course. And we sent him on MSA council. And many of these brothers and sisters in MSA council did not have that much Sharia knowledge, which is a very dangerous thing. So they were sitting very closely together. They did not know. Honestly, they did not know. So he was sitting right across from one woman. And he came back from the meeting and I noticed the change. The brother looked overwhelmed. And then he started to tell me, I think I'm in love. I said, man, you are going for the Muslims and you are falling in love. He said, man, she was right there. And then we advised this group of people that before they should have done this, they should have talked to the shuyukh. And I don't mean talk to some sheikh who does not understand you. But talk to a sheikh who's from here or he understands this place. And he will direct you, yani, in the right way to do things. And we had a problem and this brother had to be taken off of the work of Islam. Because this woman was there. And because of that, not knowing how to interact, he almost fell into it. And this is a brother, he prays all his five prayers. He comes to the Fajr every morning, Isha every night. This little brother, yani, just brother nobody knows. Memorize a good portion of Quran. Because the wrong, after this he memorized the Quran of course, the wrong way of doing things, it creates problem. So be mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Try to control yourself.
Don't ask me marriage questions, please. I'm not in that position. But try to do it in the right way. And try, we should encourage our parents to allow you to marry a good Muslim or someone that you love, who's a good man and good woman who can take care of you. And the last is, I told you, is to guard these things, these senses. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever guarded his senses, falahu jannah. Then this person, inshallah, is going to go into Jannah. Ask Allah to help us, inshallah. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum.